So we compiled all of those emails and put them in books, and that's what we've been using every year as kind of a devotional for our church family. And so we've been going back and looking at some of the previous years and some of the emails that the Lord gave us, because what's amazing to us is things that he gave us to write about in just a weekly encouraging word to everybody, how they're like for now. They apply absolutely for what's going on now. And some of these emails were written in, you know, 7-8 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And now when we go back and look at them and we read them today, it's as if though we wrote this just yesterday. It's how incredibly prophetic some of these words were. And so we've been going back and taking these some Sunday prayer times, and that's what today is. It's one of our prayer times. We go back and forth. One Sunday we have equipping our families. The next Sunday it's totally prayer. We can go back to equipping families and totally prayer. So today is one of our prayer Sundays, and it happened to fall on fall, call to fall Sunday. So it just all lined up perfectly. But I still wanted Carol to share something that she came across in one of our old emails to share it with you guys. And as we prepare for this time of prayer. All right.
Okay.
You've got it.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm going to share an excerpt from one of our books called An Open Door. And the title of this chapter is called Silver and Gold I Do Not Have. I will be sharing some of the nuggets of wisdom in the Apostle Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus. He gave them very specific things to address and teach so that the believers in those days would stay on target with the will of God. Titus 3, the 8th chapter reads, "These things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." When we go through this series of teachings, we discover that the many things church leaders should be teaching have nothing to do with most of the doctrine that is being offered today. That's the reason so many American Christian believers are frustrated and never experience the breakthroughs that are promised by many TV preachers and the false teachers who are declaring these empty and vain promises from their pulpits. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:9, "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." In other words, we cannot turn away from the law of God, his word, his priorities, his principles, his practices, and his purpose, and expect God to answer our selfishly motivated requests that often have nothing to do with winning souls, making disciples, confessing and repenting from sin, or seeking the purpose and will of God for our lives. That's the reason we are returning to the fundamentals in this ministry, and these are the fundamentals. Fulfill the purposes of the church. Go and make disciples of all nations. Preach and teach about the kingdom of God. Preach and teach about the righteousness of God. Help the poor, orphaned, and widowed. Mentor and prepare the next generation to continue with the mission of the church. Since, in our opinion, many Christian believers do not actually know the true purpose and mission of the church and its leadership, they come to our church gatherings with expectations for some things we simply cannot give them. In Acts 3, we read this account. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms," or asked for money. "And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What do we see in this story? We see a man begging for charitable donations. He had to beg for money since he was crippled and could not earn a living. We also see two men of God telling him that they didn't have any money, but they were completely willing to give him what they had. So the big question is, what did they have? They had the authority and ability of God to bring healing into this man's life. They were not willing to merely give him what he requested. His request would only supply a temporary solution. If they had given him money, the man would have been able to purchase food or pay some bills for perhaps a day or two. But soon he would be right back in the same position, begging for money. So what do we see as the role of the church and its leaders in people's lives? Our role is to bring deliverance. Our role is to bring the healing. Our role is to provide a permanent solution and not just temporary relief. Please make a mental note that the man could have rejected what they had to offer. As soon as they declared that they didn't have any money, the man could have just told them to keep on stepping. Do you realize that's exactly what many people do when they approach genuine Christian churches and leaders? The false preachers and prophets have so deceived people that they have convinced the crippled beggars to make a contribution first. Isn't that interesting? They promise the crippled beggars that if they give money to God, then God will heal them. When people come upon the real apostolic anointing, they are told that money isn't coming their way. In fact, they are told, we don't have what you're asking for. They are told healing is coming their way instead of money. Many people walk away disappointed with ministries like Urban Life because we don't give them what they are demanding. Instead, we offer healing. We offer healing for the various areas where they are crippled. Our expectations of a church are often very far away from the actual responsibilities of the church and its leaders. To be honest, the church in America is partly to blame for those errant expectations because various ministries have become so involved in power-seeking politics, glory-seeking schemes, financial prosperity scams, and people-pleasing entertainment that we have only a shadow of the former glory that once rested upon us by the power of God. So that's why we're getting back to the fundamentals. We're getting back to declaring, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And we're to walk in God's purpose and destiny for our lives. We're to seek his purpose and destiny for our lives. That's and part of that purpose and destiny is reaching out to others. It's winning our families. It's winning our coworkers. Wherever we go, we are to bring the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his peace, his joy. We bring healing. We bring deliverance into people's lives. That's our purpose. And when we seek first the kingdom of God, everything that we need gets added to us. We don't have to seek the things. We seek his purpose. That's when we receive what we need. Our focus is to be on fulfilling his purpose and destiny for our lives instead of our own selfish desires. It's the reason why we are, this nation is in the place that it's in. We were having a conversation yesterday at the dining room table, actually in our living room, and my daughter in love, was talking about her pastor, the stand that he's taken regarding marriage, homosexual marriage, having to conduct homosexual marriages. The church that they attend, their denomination has agreed to do it, to conduct homosexual marriages. But this pastor has chosen not to, and he's thinking about breaking off from them so that he can follow God all the way. And I think we're going to see a lot of that in these upcoming days. You're going to see who really is going to follow God wholeheartedly, who's really going to make a stand. We know that judgment always comes to the house of God first. And right now, lines are being drawn in the sand, and people are making decisions. We're finding out who really, what more about our Christian friends and our associate Christian associates, about where they really stand. It's funny, while we were talking about it, I was thinking about what happened with Korah and Moses, and how there was a declaration: those who are for the Lord, come over here. Come to this side, and those who are with Korah, you go over there. And then the judgment that God meted out to those people who chose to not to follow God wholeheartedly. And I believe that's coming to the church. We are so far from the original, God's original way of for us to live and for us to walk out his purpose and destiny for our lives. We're so far from it. And judgment is coming. We believe it. Judgment is coming. It can't, as Pastor Chris said earlier today, every nation that has gone this route has fallen. Yes. When you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. Right. It's coming. So we're going to pray and ask God for mercy. We're going to and reaffirm our commitment to God. So Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. Lord, we don't take you for granted. We look back at the things you have done for us, how you've answered prayer, how we are not the same as when we first met you, how you've been so faithful day by day to cause us to grow, to teach us, to guide us, to lead us. You've provided for us, you've protected us. You've brought direction and strategy and guidance. You've helped us to move in your timing. Lord, you don't hold back anything good for us. Lord, you are a good father. You don't lie to us. There's no shadow of turning in you. You are who you say you are. And Lord, we thank you for what you have been to us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for being a good father. And so, Lord, we reaffirm our commitment to you. It is you all the way, wholeheartedly, mind, soul, body, spirit. Lord, our talents, our gifts, our wealth, everything belongs to you. It all belongs to you anyway. You are Lord of heaven and earth. The arrogance of people who don't believe in you, who think that they can go on with life and make decisions as if you don't exist. The arrogance, Lord God, you know how to get through to them. Lord, we pray for your church, for your people, Lord, for those who have decided to follow you all the way. Lord, we pray, Lord, for all of your church, Lord, that you would continue to lead us, guide us. Lord, we ask for your presence, for your provision, and for your protection, for your, Lord, and for your purpose to be fulfilled in and through our lives. And Lord, for those who don't follow you wholeheartedly, there is a mixture. Lord, we pray that you would help them to see the truth. Lord, that you know how to convince them of the truth. And Holy Spirit, that is what you do. You convince of the truth. We ask that you would convince them of the truth. Help them to repent before judgment falls. Or Lord, whatever it takes, to, you know what it takes to bring them to the point where they admit the truth. And Lord, for those who don't know you, who choose not to know you, Lord God, your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, we look for a revival. We ask for revival. Lord, but your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your righteousness, your peace, your joy. Your will, your way of doing things, your way of thinking, your way for us to conduct life. In the name of Jesus, your will be done. In Jesus' name. Lord, we receive you. We say yes to you. We say yes to your will, to your way of thinking, to your way of living. Lord, we say yes to you. Lord, we surrender everything to you. We surrender all. We surrender all to you. Lord, have your way in us and through us. Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do, because you are God. You are God over this nation. You are God over this earth. And we look forward to what you are going to do in this time and season. Lord, even though they don't believe that you are God, Lord, that show them whose God is God. Show them whose God is God. They don't even believe you exist, Lord, but we know the truth. You do exist. You are Lord. You are God. And Lord, I pray that you would show them that you are God of this nation. You are God over the earth. You are Lord. We look forward to what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
In Numbers, the 16th chapter, that's the scripture that my wife was referring to and talking about Korah and the rebellion against Moses. You will find the reason why we're praying the way we are. Korah and some other guys basically rebelled against Moses, against God. And it was a rebellion at such a level that God was getting ready to wipe out the entire nation. And that's why this is so serious. You go, why? You know, that's just the, you know, the LGBT community. So why would God have such judgment to come upon all of America? And it's because of what sin will do to an entire nation.
It's a reproach.
That's why. Sin is a reproach to any nation, to the entire nation. And it's not just this issue. America's had stuff piling up for years. The treatment of the First Nation people, we call them Native American, you know, but they're the First Nation. The treatment of the First Nation, the slavery, the racism, the aborting of 55 million babies since 1973. So it's not just the gay rights issue. This is be more like, well, this is just the straw. What's the phrase? The straw that breaks the camel's back. This is just your last straw thing. But it's been things that have been piling up for a long time. The mistreatment of the poor. That's what I'm talking. That's why. It's not just this one issue. There are people who are getting up in arms and they're like, all you Christians getting all upset about this one issue. Well, no. And look at all the slavery that's been going on and the racism that's been going on. And like, yeah, and you're like, exactly. You're right. Yeah, exactly. It's not just this one issue that's bringing up. this level of judgment. It's all of it. And for a long time, we've been praying and asking the Lord to have mercy, have mercy. I believe that 9/11, September 11, 2001, was a warning to our nation. After that, we had the most horrible hurricane to ever hit our nation when it hit the southern parts of our country. And everybody talks about Katrina and all of that. But we've had one warning after another. We've had droughts. We've had tremors of earthquakes. We've had several storms that have hit the East Coast here. One year we had, just right here, we had an earthquake. And 5 days later, a hurricane hit this part of the country. And it was like crazy. We had a convergence of three storms that hit this part of the country all at once. Just crazy, way out of this, just mind-blowing things have been happening. The levels of suicide that have hit our nation, the bullying in our schools. It's at an incredibly high level. That's the reason why. And so when you read Numbers, the 16th chapter, verse 20 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." So he's getting ready to wipe out everybody. "Then they," meaning Moses and Aaron, "fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation?" That's where we are right now. God, don't let one people's sin cause you to wipe out our entire country. So they pray. So the Lord, he answered their prayers. He said, "So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Get away from their tents. Everybody, get away from those guys. Scatter." So y'all get the picture? Okay, then I'm not going to wipe out the whole nation. But everybody that's anywhere close to them, get away from them. So yeah, we will be accused in this hour of being intolerant and all of that, but we have a word from the Lord. God says, get away from you. Because something's about to happen. I love you. I've been telling you I love you for years. God's been telling you. God's been saying it, and many of us, that's the thing that's so incredibly hypocritical about all of this. A lot of us, ourselves included, have ministered to folks who was gay. We've ministered to folks who were guilty of child abuse. We've ministered to people who were guilty of molestation. We have ministered to people who were guilty of incest. You'd be surprised all the things that you encounter when you're a pastor that God brings across your table and has you to minister to them and to love them through it. A lot of times we hear most of the sermons from the TV preachers about the people who are the victims of these things. But when you move into true ministry, you got to learn how to minister on both sides. Yes. The perpetrators and the victims. And then you begin to understand why God says, I rain on the just and the unjust. Everybody gets my sunshine and rain. Everybody gets to breathe my air. And I need you to be an extension of my mercy and my love to both sides. But the hypocrisy that we have now going is people who have been perpetrators and aggressors and rebellious have now moved to a point where it's like, okay, I can always, God loves me, and do what I want to do. Because I can always, anybody run into that yet? Because God loves me. God loves me. Yeah, he does. And he loved these guys too, but he told Moses and Aaron, tell everybody, get away from them. Because something's about to happen. Then verse 25, then Moses rose and went to Dathan. Abiram and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sin. Let me read that again. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. This is serious stuff, isn't it? So they got away from around the tents of, so they did it. There's the Bible. So they did it. So they got away. It's funny when you read the Bible. I think the Bible's got the best stories in the world. They haven't made a movie yet that can top what's the. So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. Of course, they probably was like, what's going on? Where's everybody going? Where y'all going? And Moses said, I love this phrase. I love this. Moses says, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally, like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. If they die a natural death, then the Lord didn't send me. How's that for putting the challenge out there? I believe that God is calling us into these types of challenges and speaking forth. And the reason why I'm saying this, because I really believe this. I believe that we'll be part of those that will be called to preach and teach and talk like this. Because when you reach the point where people get, when people get to this level of rebellion, we've got to take them before God now. You ain't just dealing with us human beings. No. You aren't fighting against just Christians and right-wing conservatives and all the other stuff that they got in the names of. That ain't what you're fighting against. This is the Lord. And if you die a natural death, then God didn't send us. If you die according to the common fates of every, just kind of an accident or an incident comes up, then God didn't send us. How's that for putting the challenge out there? But if the Lord creates a new thing and the earth opens up its mouth and swallows them up from all that belong and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. He didn't say me. Moses said, then you gonna know that they rejected who? The Lord. I'm saying this to you so that we can rest assured about what's happening in America today. This is not against Christians, Christianity, religion. This is rebellion against the Lord. God's telling us, all right, y'all, get out. Don't touch none of this stuff. Stop envying what they got, wanting what they got, hanging around what they got. Because I talked about it earlier today. Why the wicked prosper? And so it's very easy to, you know, you kind of feel a little envious. Like, man, they got everything. They got everything. And God ain't doing nothing. Last year I read a, you guys remember the time I read a post that some young lady had posted. She's about 25 years old. And she made this statement. She said, I don't think God cares about me. Because of all the stuff that's gone on in my life, and I done worked hard, and people told me that God helps those who help themselves, and if you work hard and you keep God on your side, then God's gonna bless you. And if all that stuff was real, then all Christians would be millionaires by now, and all that stuff. And you picked up on wrong teaching, a whole lot of wrong stuff, and that's part of what's going on right now in America. A whole lot of incorrect teaching is being rooted out now. And folks who got into this thing just to get blessed. I ain't gonna name no TV preachers' names, but they told you, Send in the money and you'll be blessed. They told you to walk around your house three times or seven times and shout to the Lord and he's going to bless you. Yeah. And so folks done it. Go and anoint everything in your house. See, I'm giving you the voice in everything, so you know, yeah. Now, God's correcting that stuff because folks have built their lives on that junk.
Yes. That's
and true. Now it's falling that's apart true. And they're mad at God.
Right. Yes.
Because in the words of that young lady, people told me, people said, but they never found out what did God say? What did his word actually say? And as my wife read earlier, we've been answering that cry of the crippled. They said, give me money. And so we told them, well, you got to give money. And if you give money, then God will hear you. And folks then gave money. They've given their time. They was at church seven nights a week. They went to all the conferences. They paid out big money to go to them conferences. And they went home. And the job did not come through. And the stuff that they did borrow, it fell through. And the car got repoed. And the house got repoed. And the business that they started in the name of Jesus, it all fell apart. Why? Because it wasn't a God-directed thing. It was a pursuit of the American dream. And some preacher playing on your crippled area convinced you that the way to get healed and to get the breakthrough was to pay for it and to try to manipulate God. And even when we do praise and worship, sometimes we tell people, say, give God all of your praise, and if you do, he's gonna drop blessings on you.
Where is that?
So that ain't the way it works. It's not the way. God can't be manipulated. I love you, Daddy. I love you. Yeah. I love you. You just think about it as all us parents. You know, your kids come to you and say, I love you. What's the first thing you're going to say? What you want? You don't think God got any better sense than to know that you only come when you want something. Back when we were pastoring in St. Louis, there were some people. The only time we see them at church, we didn't see them for weeks and weeks, and then they show up. Me and Carol would turn and look at each other and say, well, they're going to be coming to the benevolence ministry asking for some money to pay their rent or pay their gas, because that's the only time they come. So they come to church and they're praising and worshiping. And then as soon as church was out, they'd be right back there filling out an application and saying, I want y'all to pay my rent. That's not the way it works. So God said, telling the people, come out, separate yourself from all of that. And don't envy what they got. Don't envy what they got. Get away from it. Get completely away from it. Because God is making the distinction. Wow. Isn't it surprising to some of you, especially some of you that are on Facebook, isn't it surprising some of you that are discovering all of your friends who are now displaying the rainbow on their profiles and all of that? I'm like, I didn't know you felt that way. I didn't know you really agreed with this. And they got, and on their profile, it says Christian. I'm a Christian. I love God. And I'm for gay marriage. And so here's God saying, nope. Separate. I'm giving you the word of God today. He said, separate. Come, Don't mingle your stuff with their stuff. Separate. You can't have it both ways. But if I separate myself from them and all of that, they'll get the wrong message. No, they're going to get the right message. That's for the right. First time. That I love you, but I cannot support you in this. And I'm not being cold-blooded and hard-hearted about this. I have one of my brothers died of AIDS. He's living on the down low, secret, bisexual life. Because I know they tell people to lie. What goes on between two people, two consenting adults, it don't affect nobody else. Well, it did affect a whole lot of people. It devastated our family because when he died, he left his wife with AIDS. She didn't do anything wrong. He left her battling for her life. She was battling for her life. So what goes on between two consenting adults does affect other people. It absolutely affects other people. It affected his wife. It affected his kids. They end up growing up without their daddy. And for a long time, the shame and the stigma on their house. So it does affect other people. So don't believe these lies that the world keeps putting out there. It does affect other people. It absolutely does. And God is telling his church, his people, come on out, make the distinction. Make the distinction. We can still love them. But when people put themselves in a position where they become enemies of God, he tells us, love your enemies. We love our enemies. Pray for them. But you don't get on the enemy side to prove that you love them. The enemies of America, you don't find nobody going, well, we're going to hook up with y'all just to kind of show you that we love you, even though y'all out, you know, y'all trying to take us out. ISIS trying to take us out. But to prove that we love you, we're going to come in and sit in a couple of y'all sessions. Because we don't want you to get the wrong idea about, no, you're my enemy. You're trying to kill me. So that's what's up, y'all. God is, his word has said it. Let me finish this thought so we can go today. Verse 28, and Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally, like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Now it came to pass as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men of Korah and with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Then all Israel who were around them, everybody who was around them, fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Everybody that was close by started running. I don't want the earth to swallow me up too. I told y'all the Bible's funny. And we would too. You see that happen? I ain't gonna wait around to watch it. I'm running. I'm gone. I'm out. Yes, Lord, I'm out. You know, some of those movies, they show some people when something dangerous happens, they run toward it to look at it. And then there are those of us who I'm not sitting around waiting to see what happened. I'm running. That's what these people did. Earth stores opening up. Hey, glad I got my stuff out. Glad I moved away. Yes. And a fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. I didn't get into all of that story, but there had been others that had come out. Moses had put the challenge to them to come out burning incense. And because it was strange fire to the Lord, said, we're in a dangerous time. There's lots of folks offering stuff up to the Lord and they're calling it worship, and it ain't worship. And we've reached an hour now. Woo! This is so right on point. I love this because our daughter-in-law is a worship leader, and she knows the value of this, that your life is right before the Lord when you lead people in worship. Because when this fire comes and it's not right, you get consumed. And so here they offered up this incense, and their hearts wasn't right. And so what a fire that's when you're right before the Lord and the fire comes, the fire purifies. Mm-hmm. When your heart is right toward the Lord. But when your heart ain't right, the fire consumes. Because fire consumes the sin. Everything that ain't like God, it consumes. Woo! So somebody say, okay, yes, Lord, I want to be right before you. I want to burn right incense before you. I want to bring right worship before you. Yes, Lord God. Because I believe that this is what's coming to America. That's why I'm saying this. God's going to make the distinction between those who are rebellious and also those who are not, they're not right. They got the look. They're burning the incense. They got the look. But God's saying, no, that's not of me. You're not of me. Your heart is just like the ones who were outwardly rebellious. You're just inwardly rebellious, passive aggressive. Nobody knows except for me, God speaking. Nobody knows except for me that you really aren't with me. And why is he doing this? Because God has to make the distinction in this hour between those who are his and those who are not. Why? Because there is a world that has yet to see the true and living God. So he's going to clean up his church so that they can behold the true and living God. Because what they have seen is a lot of hypocrisy. They've seen games. They see playing around. They see politics and all that stuff. But when they really get to see God and his true church, yeah, that's what causes people to say, what must I do to be saved? I want that. I want that. I'm not after no money. I ain't trying to be famous. I want that. I want that joy. I want that peace. I want what I see in y'all. That's what I want. Yeah. Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we answer the call to fall.
Yeah.
To fall on our knees and ask you, Lord God, for mercy, just like Moses and Aaron did. When you said you were going ready to wipe out an entire congregation, meaning the entire nation. And so, Lord, that's where we stand in the place of Aaron and Moses. And we say, Lord, have mercy. Don't allow the sin of one man to cause you, one group of people to cause you to wipe out the entire nation. Forgive us, Lord God. We bow before you. Even in our own hearts, Lord, where we have been rebellious. It may not have been something as blatant as homosexuality, but Lord, you know the secret things that are still in our heart that we harbor and we hold on to. Forgive us, Lord God. We repent. Be real honest with God right now. Lord, I repent. And repent means not just say the words, I'm sorry. It means, Lord, I turn in my heart toward you. I turn away from it and I turn to you. Thank you, Lord. I turn away. Yes, Lord. And every way in my heart, in my home, Lord, where I haven't been doing it, Lord, I pledge to you. You've got me, Lord. I'm yours, Lord. Remember that old song, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm yours. From this day forth, we commit our hearts to you. Yes, Lord. Lord, we ask for mercy, even for the ones who have been rebellious. Lord, give them another chance, because eternity is forever, God. We take no pleasure at the thought of people who are living this lifestyle and people who are extremely racist and people who are bitter and people who got agendas that are seeking to overthrow this entire nation. Lord, they're on their way to hell. We don't wish that on our worst enemy. God, give them another chance. Give them another chance. Lord, we know their hearts of heart. Some of them been so deceived, but God, you got a way of getting through like nobody else can. Lord, we've heard the stories where you've been appearing to people who are Muslim, who are caught up in Islam. They've been in it all their lives, but you have been revealing yourself to them. So God's got a way. All of the reason why I'm sharing this with you, God can get through to people, the most hardened person that don't even care nothing about God, he'll reveal himself. So Lord, we pray that, Lord, we just pray this for those who are so caught up in their sin or in their rebellion. God, reveal yourself. Reveal yourself. Lord, especially to those who grew up in church. They grew up around the things of God, and they turned in their rebellion because of what happened to them, because they saw hypocrites or wicked things happen at the church, so they turned to these other lifestyles. But God, take them back to the moment as a little kid when you really revealed yourself to them. Give them another chance, Lord. Give them another chance. Lord, we don't wish that anybody, our hearts are just like your heart, Lord. Your word says you don't desire that anybody should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So, Lord, we ask you for mercy one more time for America, one more time for Americans, one more time for those who have come to this nation from other parts of the world, and they're seeking riches and they're seeking the American dream, but they don't know you. Give them another chance, Lord. Yes, Lord God, and we make ourselves available to you, Lord, that they would see your light in us, that help us to recognize the moments where we have an opportunity to plant a seed. Help us to recognize the moments when we have an opportunity to water a seed where somebody else has planted. Yes, Lord God, we yield ourselves to you to be vessels, tools. Yes, Lord God. To be an extension of your hands, to be an extension of your feet, to embrace people, to speak your words. Yes, Lord God, to bring your life to those who are lost. Yes, Lord God, we say yes and amen to your will, your way, in our hearts, in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.